Well, can you believe it? Here we are again. Thank you for coming back. I'm so excited. Welcome back to Mission Accepted. Look at this. We have a panel of goddesses. If you are listening and not watching, well, let me tell you, this is an enticing, incredible group of women that have showed up to talk to you about something that is absolutely a critical piece for your success in life and as an entrepreneur. And I know that there's a lot of you out there listening. We're called Mission Accepted for a reason. These women have done more than just step into their business. They're hanging in there. They're doing the deal. They're learning more. They are what we call stretching, and taking care of oneself and remembering oneself is an important part of that. So I am very excited. These are very incredible women doing what they need to do. And I want to hear myself personally what these ladies are doing to keep that movement going. So let me introduce them to you. I am going to let them actually introduce themselves in detail with you. And they're going to share with us. We're going to kick this off with, who they are, what they do in their field, and then what they do for themselves, for self-love, to be able to serve the way they serve, or how they activate self-love in you. How does that sound? I think it sounds great. Are we all in? We're in. Do, 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 do. Okay, Donita, we're going to start with you. So please, if you
Yes,
can come and tell us.
we'll see. So my name is Doita. I'm the founder of Neil Forward. So we design conversion-focused websites for small businesses, especially service-based businesses. And the whole purpose is to increase credibility and leads.
Very cool. And what do you do in relationship to self-love for yourself or for other people when you're working with them?
Yeah, so I work with mainly startups and small businesses in the early stages. And then they really struggle to sell themselves. So I also help them. Because I know personally it's very hard to sell myself too. So I help them refine their offer, focus on their strengths, and then try to build a website that caters to them and showcases their talents.
Well, awesome. And I think probably when you're doing that, you're asking them things that are important to them, right? Who they're putting themselves out there. And that whole process can be a little scary. I'm sure they needed to, take care of themselves, brave up a little bit, and startup. Remember? Does anyone remember startup? I always say that we never really stop starting up because most of us turn from entrepreneurs to entrepreneurs. And people go, what's an entrepreneur? Like, it's an entrepreneur that can't say no. Can't say no. People need divisions and what have you, which brings me to the wonderful Karen. Karen, my friend, oh my goodness, we've had so much fun together. Our first meeting was in the stock room of a hotel as we were both at an Oscars event looking for our leet, leet, leet books. And I'm in my beautiful dress and bare feet hauling books, and she's signed in the middle of the corner. And that's how the best of friends are made. So,
Yeah, behind the scenes, right?
please share with us what you do, where you're coming from, and what self-love is for you or for your clients.
Sure. Thank you so much. Good to see you all again. And yeah, I'm a psychotherapist. I've had my own business for 27 years, but you're right. I've never stopped building, always trying to make it better. I published my debut book, Yellow Paint: Learning to Live Again, last year. And that's where we met up at the Oscars when we launched that, and went back at the Emmys to produce to launch the audiobook that we produced over the summer. And I've turned into an international speaker and writer in international magazines, and have a Yellow Paint monthly column coming out later this year. Self-love is a huge topic. I not only have shared my own story of when I hit rock bottom, and then yes, how I had to relearn loving myself to get to the life I'm having. But it's a huge part of the spirit in all of the work that I do with my clients, because most people will come to me when I say their wounded self is running the show, with all kinds of narratives that need to be depersonalized in order to discover that self-love, to discover their good enough self. So a lot of the work is around depersonalizing those negative narratives and the stories we're carrying with us, and also building self-affirmation, so that we can love ourselves and notice our goodness even when bad things are happening, when we're put to the test.
Very good. Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Kazumaru.
Aloha, I am Kazumaru, and I am a psychic medium and lifelong meditator, meditating for 45 years, and it led to visions and hearing voices because I'm crazy. And then developing psychic mediumship for many, many years, and then launched my own business, which is Kazemaru LLC. And I think for self-love, I mean, there's a wide range of things, but if I focus those areas, I would focus on the soul love. So first of all, knowing who I am as a soul, like nobody else, you can't compare. We all are. No, you can't compare. I don't want to compromise. There is no competition. But also what I do is in meditation to link to the ultimate source of love that is unending, so that always filled up with that unlimited spirit love.
Yes. No, this is beautiful. Meditation. All right. Sometimes when we do meditation, like, I know. I should.
There's so many ways to do it, and you have to find some way that is suits you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's important. All right, Mandy, please introduce yourself and talk about self-love for what you do or do for others, and let us know what you do in the world.
Well, everyone, my name's Mandy Horton, and I have started my third skincare business. So I've learned a few self-love lessons along the way and really love what I'm doing third time around. My business is called Sea Dragon Organic, and I didn't make that up. Sea dragons are a fish. They're a native Australian fish. In fact, they're my state marine emblem. And in my skincare products, I use marine actives, so hence Sea Dragon Organic. And this time around, what I do for self-love is I start my business day at 11 a.m. So when people want to schedule meetings or whatever, reply to me on emails, etc., I don't touch that until 11 a.m. So I have that time from when I get my son off to school to do things for me, whether that's go and have a massage or go for a walk or read a book or have a coffee without doing 10 other things at the same time. Just sit down and, yeah, take the time to enjoy that coffee.
Good things being dropped here today. Lots. And Lisa, hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me amongst all these amazing women. My name is Lisa Taylor. I have a company called Lisa Taylor Holistic. I am a life coach. I'm also a 22-year yogi, meditator, healer, guide. Really, I guide people through change. And it's because I've been through my own fair share of a lot of changes in a short amount of time. I actually write about it in my new book, It All Begins With You, which I launched at the beginning of this year on my birthday. Big act of self-love right there. Thank you. I had went through a lot of big changes, including moving across the state of California, becoming a parent overnight to a very traumatized little girl, getting her up to speed, and then after that, going through a divorce and a massive year-long healing journey, which was psychotherapy, Reiki, shamanic healing, tarot, water fasting, all kinds of cool things. So I am the embodied example of what I share with my clients. And right now, what I'm doing for self-love is I gave up sugar about 3 weeks ago, and it's been a game changer. I mean, any kind of refined processed sugar is now gone, and my sleep is so wonderful.
Wow. That's a good one. That's a great one. Listen to all the suggestions and all the learnings. And I think that's the most important thing. And I'm, you know, just to let you know, hang in there. 33 years no sugar and raised my kids with no sugar. I was the nasty mom that on Halloween went to the whole neighborhood and gave them the things to put into their basket. My kids still love me, right? You know what I mean? There's always ways around, but that's incredible. I'd love to ask you, ladies, again. I mean, we talk about success and we talk about self-love, and sometimes people don't put those together. And we've heard some things of what you're doing in relationship to whether it's boundaries or helping people really in that startup phase be able to put their love and their ideas into action and meditation and taking care of ourselves and all the things, Karen, that you've put in your book, which is amazing. So I'd love to ask you just your personal opinion, and maybe for you, maybe for others that you work with in relationship to, it's an opinion, really. The idea of success, we all want to have success in our business, whatever it means to us, right? Obviously, for many, one of your success structures is starts at 11 a.m. so you can take care of yourself. But truly, what is your opinion and what is your activation maybe around how your self-love serves the success of your business? Because many times people think, I'm going to do my business, then I'm going to take care of myself. And that they don't put those two things together. Look, you're all very successful at what you do. You're all very grounded and poised about what you do, and you take it out into the world. So how do you think that those two really interact? Like really interact? It's interesting, some of the stories of what happens when you start to put that into play. Because living the life of self-love doesn't mean that you can't have what you want. But sometimes I find that I do have to structure it in my day. You know, we're going to be, you know, when you're growing or you're going, like right now for us, we've got an incredible 2-day summit coming up. And then, you know, we're back off to where me and Karen met to do a couple of Oscars events. What do you do when you're in that kind of motion, and how do you stay grounded? So those are big questions. Feel free to answer as much or as little as you want on that. A lot of you work with clients that are doing the deal. So maybe it's something about a client experience that you're going to talk about today. But Donita, what about for you, your opinion of the relationship between self-love and success?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of complicated because when I started my business when I was 22, I had low self-esteem. I didn't have self-worth. I didn't know what I was doing. And the entire business was an accident, actually. So I was figuring myself out. And I realized that if I want to do well, I need to increase my self-esteem and my self-confidence. It's compulsory, essentially. Because when I was doing sales calls with like prospects and clients, like if I come across as not confident, they're also not confident in that I will do the job well. So like, and what's interesting is the more confident I became, the better deals I get, the clients start treating me better. I was able to close more deals better. Like before, my first client was like for like a $500 package. In the beginning, I charged $25, which is ridiculous because you should be like charging at least $500 per month for the social media management thing. And it just showed how low my self-esteem was. But now I have complete confidence simply because I started respecting myself more. So like self-respect is self-love for me. Like if you don't respect yourself, like honestly, no one else will. And I think it's very hard to do business if you don't you don't respect yourself.
Yeah.
It's just very hard.
Oh, thank you so much for being transparent. I think that a lot of people can relate to that, not only in starting out prices, but, and I think some of you that have been around for a while, when you know that you've gained more value in what you do, and then it's the changing price dilemma. Does anyone like need to call their coach when they do that? It's like, I know I need to change my prices. I'm maxing out of my capacity, either emotionally, sleep-wise, or financially, right? And you come up against that, you know, experience, evaluation of oneself. They call it mindset, but I call it business esteem, right? There's self-esteem and business esteem. But thank you for being transparent and sharing that. I'm sure we all nodded our head a little bit on that one. Karen, let's ask you.
Thank you. Yeah, I can totally relate to that because I remember when I hired my first business coach about 10 years ago. And she goes, okay, so you're going to double your prices. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? But one of the best exercises she did, which, you know, already being in the field 17 years at that point, I hadn't done this. And she goes, okay, between now and when I see you next, I want you to write down, you know, what value you serve to your clients. How many clients have you served? What have you done with them? And even the sheer number when I did that. And that was just such a great exercise. And I suppose, yeah, whether it's value or self-love. And yeah, even then I kind of bumbled over the first couple times I listed the new prices. And now it's like, yeah, it's just part of what I do and part of what I believe in. But what I was going to start with originally was this idea, because a lot of people will say how passionate I am about the work that I do. And it's really about that freedom that I feel and other successful people feel to be passionate, to throw themselves into something they believe in so fully because they believe in themselves. And whether, you know, and that kind of overlaps with what I was just saying around value and fees and, you know, all of that piece that we offer. But I think when we're full of self-love, we can succeed because we allow ourselves that freedom to be passionate, to believe in ourselves that we can deliver and believe so fully in what we're doing.
And what I hear when you talk, Karen, is I hear even risk-taking, like doing things that make you scared, right? Like,
that's right.
When's the last time I've grown? When's the last time I put myself through? Because sometimes when you've been around for a while and you're like, and it's grooving, you're like, you know, but I really love the risk, because what that comes up for in the world of entrepreneurship, and I would be hard pressed to say that anyone here hasn't experienced it, but for the audience to know, it's scary when you're purchasing things you've never purchased before. There's a lot of, you know, cart before horse in the world of entrepreneurship. You want to get better, you got to pay for the coach. You want to have a book, you got to pay for the book to get done. Then you got to, oh, someone's got to market it. Like, there's all these wonderful surprises that happens. And it is a continuum of getting comfortable with or regulating your nervous system to be risky. I don't know. There's a topic for someone's book. I won't write it, but any of you feel free to take it. Kazumaru, what about for yourself? Success and self-love relationship.
Yes, again, so many layers. But for me, first of all, when I start with myself, one thing for self-love that leads to success, I feel, is like what I mentioned with meditation, is to always clean my mind from any negative self-talk or, of course, attitudes, and never allow anything that takes my happiness away. It's just a given. It's like, no. My mind and my feelings and my heart, soul, everything is too important. That's the core of everything I do. So I don't have time for, and I don't want to accept anything that strips away my, you know, happiness. And so sometimes it doesn't work like mentally. So I will like dance and put on some music or just watch comedy just to laugh it out and then clean up. And I feel like when it leads to success, my love for others is in my work as well. Because I feel like we say that we cannot love others unless we love ourselves. But I also feel that we cannot love ourselves fully unless we love others. So my extension of my love is in my work. And that is my success. For example, the other day, when was it? It was Valentine's the other day, yeah? So then I had the honor to work with several women who had lost their husbands or partners and wanted to reconnect in love, even though they were in beyond, you know, they have crossed over. And for them to reconnect with that love and to see that love never dies, even when we cross over, and to once again feel that love and communicate. I feel their love in that connection, and I know that's extended to them. That for me is success. I feel fulfilled in my heart to see their love flowing back into their heart. that's all I need for my success or satisfaction. For me, it's more like satisfaction. How I frame my success is satisfaction.
Great. Yeah. Well, it's a great song. It reminds me a little bit of the Rolling Stones. All right. Andy, what about for yourself?
What I've found is there have been periods, especially with my last business that I ended up selling, and it was a very stressful process, that I started realizing I really did need to go for a long walk in the morning, whether it was an hour and a half, just to take care of myself. But what I found so surprising was the ideas would start flowing again, and that's when I would become creative and I would find solutions to things and new ideas. Even recently, I was working on a formulation and I worked out one little bug and then was doing something else I didn't like. And it was during a self-guided meditation that I realized you need to go back to the beginning and look at every single material because you've missed something. And it was it takes you away from the busyness of running that business and all of the information coming in and people wanting things from you. And it gives you that space where, for me, that's where I become creative, where I find my creative self. So it's not selfish to take that time to look after myself. It's actually really beneficial for my business because that's when I come up with my best ideas.
No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And I'm sure your clients appreciate it, you know? So I always say that we never probably really know the depth of the impact that we make with being, you know, servant leaders or loving our business and sharing and, you know, coming on and people, because they'll go make changes. We won't even know. Hopefully they'll reach out to us one day. But all the things that we do really has, you know, without sounding cliche, a ripple effect. And Lisa, how about for yourself, the relationship between success and self-love?
Yeah, I can relate to what everyone has shared. So thank you, everyone, for bringing that forward. I like to tell my clients, everyone wins when you're happy, you're healed, and you're whole. So I really try to embody that. And I have a practice that it's always really beneficial for me, and it connects me to source, and it's very physical, and that's journaling. And I do it every single day. And I have hundreds of journals that I filled in that became my book. But that simple act of doing that every morning, sometimes a couple times a day, is a form of self-love for me. It's my time. It's quiet. It's peaceful. And it does provide ideas, like Mandy was saying. It provides space. It provides meditation. It provides so many things for me. And it's easy and it's free. And so that's something I like to share with others.
There's been so many great ideas. I mean, I wanted to ask you when we were in the wrap up here, you know, to give ideas of what you do to fill your cup and how other people can take that away. And I'm still going to ask that if there is something that you want to share about that, but also the fact that we're talking to entrepreneurs, we're talking to people that are in it, you know, they're in it. Right. And so I wanted to add, because you're all, you know, well versed in what you do and you've have success in your business, satisfaction in your business. Right. So while you're sharing with us something that you do to really make sure that you're in great form, that you want to share, that one must tell if you do nothing, make sure you put aromatherapy in your bath kind of thing. I also encourage you, or I invite you, to share with, if you were talking to a group of entrepreneurs and you were going to give them a piece of information or share something that was inspirational can help actualize them to be successful, then feel free to add that into the conversation with as well. So, Danita, how about for yourself?
I think for me, I struggled this for the past few years of finding my tribe or finding people who get me and so on the same journey. I think who you hang out with the most is very important because they affect you. And in the past, I've been like in toxic environments or friends. I've also been a toxic person too. So it's not just one way, because it takes two to tango, honestly. And so I think having a very clean inner circle, people who root for you, people who actually care about you, that has been very self-soothing. I recently made a, became, I mean, she's a client, but she suddenly became a very close friend. And we are in the same mission. We call each other out. Like, there's no behind the, like, she doesn't say anything bad behind my back. She just says it in my face. And like, as I get older, I really appreciate that. Just being brutally honest with you to the face. That's been really helpful. And then, so inner circle is very important. Exercise is essential. I've been eating so much sugar this year. I'm going to quit it. Too much cupcakes, too much frappes, too much Starbucks. I'm done. And another thing is just buy my favorite body wash. Like, I love very nice baths. I like to have options. So I have multiple multiple like scents of body washes. Body wash. And another thing was music. Even if it's my weird techno music, it just shows the rhythm of my mind, honestly. Like, techno music, like, it's literally my mental stuff, but it keeps me regulated. Yeah. Last year was very difficult for me, and I realized that I have to respect myself, and as a result, do things that's aligned with respecting myself. Yeah, so far these strategies have helped me.
Absolutely. Well, she said it on air that she was quitting sugar. So good on you. Good on
yes.
Girl.
It's right.
Write that down. But thank you so much. It's a great reminder of who you're sitting with. You know, it's being at that table that you'd want to share a meal with. That's fantastic. Karen, what about for yourself?
Yeah, I think the tip for entrepreneurs really around self-love is just to remember that growth is not, you know, straightforward. When we're really filled with self-love, we don't have to be perfect to be good enough. And I think that really builds resilience when things zig and zag. So what we thought would work, hoped worked, either didn't work or didn't go the way we had hoped or thought. You know, it's like we look at it with curiosity rather than shame to understand, you know, what else could I do differently? Whether it's worth trying it again or throwing it away and starting with something else. But it really is that distress tolerance, that it's not onward and upward, that there is a zigzagging, and to learn how to tolerate that to build resilience and to keep growing. So that's my first part of that tip for entrepreneurs when success is from self-love and resilience. Filling my cup, okay, and I think, Debbie, you know how I'm going to answer this, but filling my cup really is about my travel experiences. And for a long time now, I've just lived with that meaning behind myself and my life to go big or go home, to always look for something new and different. So whether I was skydiving in Dubai or living with the gorillas up in the mountains in Rwanda. I just booked a trip to snorkel with humpback whales in Tonga. But it's like I have such a zest for life. And I just really know that that's so important for me to keep doing. And also a lot of good giving back, excursions and adventures to support female agriculturists around the world. So really a great combination of animals and nature and giving back. But that's definitely what fills my cup every year.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. And I love that. So sometimes it's filling your cup in your day, you know, whether you're journaling daily or walking daily. And then there's those things that you can do that fill your cup for a good long time. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Good long time. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Mandy, what about yourself?
I would say make self-love and treat yourself, whether you're a solopreneur or you have a small team, like you're a larger corporation. And they have HR departments and wellness people that put together programs. Do that yourself. Come up with a wellness program, put it in your business plan. Step out, whether it's every month that you're going to have a special lunch or a massage van come to the office, or, you know, maybe watching a few TED Talks with some nice snacks and drinks. Schedule it in at the start of the year and then roll that out each month or each week and make it a priority. Just like you reconcile your accounts every week or every month, you do something for your well-being, and it's not negotiable because it's in the plan. So stick to your plan. And as I said before, for me, that's where I find I am the most creative. So there's definitely a benefit in doing that. And yeah, you're taking care of yourself. And as you grow your team, you're taking care of them as well.
Your team's like, yeah, you know, and I think the beautiful thing about doing something with your team, no matter what that is, you know, we've done movie nights and things like that, just them knowing that you care and you knowing that they care and staying on point and mission, just creates a really powerful synergy, right? And so you can take care of each other. All right. Very cool. Kazumaru, what is all to yourself?
We've heard all the big things and so forth, but I'm thinking about like the daily small things that we can do for ourselves and talking about filling the cup. For me, I have to have my Japanese green tea every day and my dark chocolate. And it's actually also connected to the green tea is connected to my late father because, you know, he had a background of green tea and my grandma too. So every time I drink that green tea, it connects me to those that walked before me and still are in spirit behind me and loving on me, believing in me. So that for me, of course, because I'm a medium, it's very important for me to always connect to those ancestors in spirit. And even if I go to the ocean, that's something that for me fills my cup, just floating in the ocean and feeling the expansiveness of our little place in this world and the huge sky above and deep ocean below. It connects me again to this space, this realm of spirit, where all the ancestors, all the spirits who believes in us and showers us with love constantly and opening to that to receive their beliefs in us and their love for us. And yeah, for me, that always, always fills me up and gets me ready to go. And yeah, but I think everything I do, it gets me to that place. I go to the ocean and I feel this expansiveness and spirit realm. I drink my green tea. I feel like those that my ancestors that walked before me and loved me. And I dance in the music. I lose myself. And then I feel like love dancing with me and through me. So, and so it's anything that I do feels like it comes back to the soul. And from there, everything falls into place in the right way. I can be loving to others. Everything I do, like my judgment of things, gets in a better place. Yeah, everything is filled with a better energy. Yeah.
No, oh, that's beautiful. This is great. And if I was listening to this, I mean, I am listening to this, but if I was like, just, you know, on the show and going, okay, self-love, how does it make me feel successful? There's so many, I think that this has been expansive of a conversation itself in just how we play behind the curtain. Like, how do these people do what they do? So Lisa, you're going to wrap this story up. So filling your cup.
You.
Also, if you were to give advice to somebody that's out there right now, what's a piece of business advice you'd want them to take from you?
Yeah. So I started my company. It was actually a marketing agency, and I started that in 2012. And I was working for large corporate marketing departments, and I was so frustrated. I said, I can do this on my own. And so I did. And I didn't realize how lonely entrepreneurship can be. And thankfully, I got pulled into a variety of networking groups. And then I moved across the state, so I had to kind of start over, and I still felt lonely and I didn't know many people. So I decided to create a mastermind because I wanted to make it business focused. I knew a few people that were also solopreneurs and they were ambitious and driven, and it was a beautiful synergy of things. And so my advice would be find those like-minded people. Surround yourself with them, because it is a lonely road at times. And They'll understand your pain. You can help each other. You can share clients, hopefully. So that's my piece of advice. Find a community. And if you don't find one, build your own community of people.
I love that. I love that. We had to do that when we decided to be entrepreneurs. There was 9 of us, not a women's networking group in our city. And so I'm not 90 when I say that, but it was, you know, and so we, you know, we figured it out. Sunday at 2, whose house? It was mine. You know what I mean? That is so great. And I think that what you talked about, there was something about what you talked about it for me, and we've heard about the right table and sitting at the right table and doing the things that make you feel good. I also, you know, if I was to give a piece of advice, my gut feeling is telling me today, your environment. Like, what's in your environment? What does your office look like? Really, it's so reflective. You're hanging out here. You know, I have a couch office, a kitchen table office, an office. Like, what's there? Is it things that, you know, I mean, I could show you, like, my daughter, who's now 30, made this thing when she was 8. It's awesome. It's there. Like, what are you looking at? Who are you hanging out with? What are the colors of the walls? What are the pictures that you're looking at? I'm looking at, like, just a shape-up picture of Janis Joplin. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that you look like? Because these are the things that are reflecting. Make sure that it's happy. You know, make sure that it's happy. Make sure that it makes you feel happy, and take some time at the end of the day to put things away. And when you come the next day, have things sitting there that brings you joy automatically. Because, you know, we don't work in offices by nature with lots of people. And I think your environment matters. There have been so many incredible things that you women have shared today. Thank you so much. I am going to go around. I just have this stuff. I'm going to go around because I want to talk about environment and what makes us happy and what makes us move, what makes us decide to go on trips, what makes us decide to go to the ocean. I'm going to go around very quickly. First thing that comes to you, what is a color you couldn't live without? Danita?
Oh, okay, black.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Karen?
Yellow.
Okay. Casimiru, what color?
Rose gold.
Rose gold. Andy, what color could you not live without?
Pale.
So what's your color?
Purple.
Oh my goodness, I love purple. I love all colors, but I am going to go with red. Thank you so much for sharing. And look, if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to brave up, I want to sit on that stage, we have stages, podcasts and stages and television. And there's a big shout out. If you are looking and are ready for your own TV show, let's have that conversation. Let's get on some stages. All right. And you can just be sitting here like these incredible women and producing what you want to produce. So thank you for being with us today. And as always, audience, share. One of the biggest ways of saying thank you for these incredible women that came here to share their expertise with you is to take this podcast and send it to someone you know who needs it after you listen and take your notes, and continue to have this shared around, and reach out. Reach out to speakers that you've seen on podcasts, because most people go, oh my gosh, that was amazing, right? And you might go follow them on their Instagram or on the website. They don't know who you are. You know who they are. It's a one-sided relationship. Reach out and say, hey, it was really good to hear you share. So do that, because it inspires those of you that we're talking about. It can be a little bit of a solo journey. It keeps inspiring us to continue to do what we do. So thank you for being an incredible audience. Thank you for being incredible guests. And until next week, we'll see you. You stay well and you be groovy. Bye for now.